We continue with Masechet Beisa, the Aflamet Beisa, and Aleph are going to begin the bottom of the Yamud. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, in which we had seen, Enchot chenes apsila l'shnayim, that a person cannot take a wick and cut it into 2 wicks using a knife on Yamdif. Rabbi Yehuda says that although it's prohibited to cut a wick with a knife, you can cut it in half, or using a fire. So says the Gemara, in Mechat chenes apsila l'shnayim, Mishnah b'sakin d'lo. What is the reason why a person cannot use a knife to do this? So says the Gemara in the top of Lamed Beis Amud Beis, Dikam Sakin Mana, because by doing so, says Rashi, you are perfecting this wick, because beforehand it was one, and now Osa Sal Shtayim, now you're making it to two. So says the Gemara, if that's true, so Ba'or Nami Kam Sakin Mana. So even when you do it with the fire, so you're also being Masakin Mana. So Tanur B'chia Chotcha Ba'or B'shpishtei Neiros. So he explains over here that according to Rabbi Yehuda, what you're going to do is you're going to take the wick and place each end of the wick into 2 different candles and then light it at the center. In this case, says Rashi, it is not at all obvious from his actions that he's doing this for the purpose of perfecting the wick. Rather, it looks just like he's lighting it in the normal fashion, as opposed to cutting the wick with a knife. So that certainly gives the impression of tikkun mana, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that is prohibited, as opposed to lighting it be'emsa, that is permissible. The Gemara continues with another din that pertains to wicks on Yom Tov. Amar Rav Nasan bar Abba, Amar Rav, Motchen es apsila b'Yom Tov. A person can go ahead and trim a wick on Yom Tov. My Motchen, what does this mean to trim it? Amar Rav Chanina bar Shlemya la'aduye chushcha. Rashi explains over here there's some pechem, there's some charcoal which accumulates on the top of the wick, and by trimming it, so you allow the wick to illuminate better, because otherwise it's machshech ora, it darkens, it weakens the wick's ability to go ahead and to illuminate properly. The Gemara now continues and quotes a braisa which tells us that there are 4 special dinim that pertain to wicks on Yom Tov. 3 of them are chumras and 3 of them are kulos, 3 are leniencies. Tani bar kapara vav devarim nemru b'psila. There are 6 special rulings that we have regarding wicks on Yom Tov. Shlosh lahachmir v'shlosh lahakel. 3 of them are stringencies, are chumras, and 3 are leniencies. Lahachmir, when it comes to the 3 dinim regarding a psila wick, which is a chumra, number 1, ein godlo nasa lechatchila b'yamtif, which means you cannot go ahead and twist a wick on yamtif. By twisting a wick, you're going to be creating a wick, and this is going to be asa b'shum tikkun mana. Vein mahavivin al sabaor, you cannot go ahead and singe it or with a flame. A person would do this normally because this would make the wick easier to light the next time. And finally, as we had seen already in our Mishnah, you cannot go ahead and cut a wick into 2 wicks. So these are the 3 chumras. Lahakel, when it comes to the kulas, so number 1, mamacho b'yad, a person can go ahead and compress the wick together with his hand. Says Rashi, even though this accomplishes the same thing as twisting it, however, this is kala achayad. Says Rashi, this is a tikkun kala achayadu. This is a shinoi, and this is permissible. Number 2, v'shura v'shemen. A person can go ahead and soak the wick in oil beforehand. This will also make it easier to light. It'll burn better. But this, unlike singeing it beforehand, is something which is permissible. And finally, v'chot chaba'or b'fishnei nero, said we had seen in our Mishnah, even though you cannot go ahead and b'chotech the wick using a knife, you may cut it using a fire, using a flame. The Gemara now continues with an unrelated point. Previously, the Gemara quoted a din in the name of Rav Nasan bar Abba, so now the Gemara quotes another thing in the name of Rav Nasan bar Abba, even though it's not on this topic of weeks on Yom Tov. Amar Rav Nasan bar Abba, Amar Rav, Asirei Bavel Yardei Gehenim Heim. Asirei, the wealthy people of Bavel, are Yardei Gehenim, they're going to be sent to Gehenim, says Rashi over here, because they do not take care of the Aniyim. Ki hode Shabsoi by Marinus, because there's a certain incident which the Gemara tells us regarding a person by the name of Shabsoi by Marinus. Iklub of Bavel, he once visited Bavel, by Minei Iskwa, and he went ahead and he requested certain merchandise from the people who lived there because he didn't have much. And says Rashi, he was hoping that if he can get a discount on the merchandise, then he'd be able to make a living. V'lo yahavale, they wouldn't give it to him. So then Mazoni said, then he asked for food. Mezinami lo zainuhu. However, they also would not go ahead and provide him with any food. So Amar, he said, Hani me'erav Rav ka'asu. It must be that these people are from the Erev Rav. that these people are not true members of Klal Yisrael, the Chassid, because it says, the Pasuk says, regarding those individuals who participate in carrying out the onish against the Irani Dachas, that Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will give you rachamim, and I will show mercy, I will show rachamim to you. And based on this, Chazal Darshan kolam rachamim labrios, biyodua shehu bizarro shel Avraham Avinu. A person goes ahead and shows compassion towards other people, so you could be certain that this person is a descendant of Avraham Avinu. V'chomesh einu merachem labrios, and a person who is not compassionate towards other people, biyodua shein mizarro shel Avraham Avinu, so you know that he is not considered to be a descendant of Avram, and so therefore, he declared when this happened that it must be that they were descendants of the Erev Rav. The Gemara now continues with another statement from Rav Nosson bar Abba, V'omer Rav Nosson bar Abba, Merav, Kolam Tzapal, Shulchan Acherim, anybody who has to go ahead and literally look, peer at another person's table in order to provide for himself. In other words, he depends on others for sustenance. Olam Choshech Ba'ado, so the world that he faces is a very dark world. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, No Deitu L'Alechem Ayei, Yada Kinachon B'Yado Yom Choshech. That if a person goes ahead and wanders, asking regarding bread, where is it? Ayei, where can I find bread? So, Yada Kinachon B'Yado Yom Choshech, so he knows that the day of darkness is at hand. So, Rav Nosson bar Abba quotes this Pasuk as saying that a person who requires others in order to sustain him lives in a world which is very dark. And Chizda Amar, Av Chayav Enam Chayim, that also his life is not considered to be a life. Meaning that his state of being is even worse, perhaps. Rav Nosson bar Abba who implied that he's living, but he's living in darkness. Rav Chizda says, no, it's not even like he's not even alive. It's such a terrible state of existence when a person doesn't have enough money to support himself. The Gemara now introduces a brisa, which has a similar statement. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Chayim Eino Chayim. There are three people, three types of people, whose lives are not considered to be real lives. Elohein, Hametzapa L'Shulchan Chaveiro. A person who goes ahead and looks literally again to another table in order to provide for him. A person who can't support himself. Umishto Moshelos Alav. A person whose wife rules over him. Umisha Yasurin Moshe Megufon. A person whose body is subjected to lots of pain. And there are those that say that even another type of person is a person only has one chalak, one shirt, one article of clothing, says Rashi. He's not able to wash it properly because he has nothing to wear when he's laundering one. And therefore he's constantly trying to deal with the bugs that will undoubtedly infest his garment because he doesn't have anything else to change into to allow him to wash it properly. And says the Gemara, Tana Kama, Efshad Mayayin Bimoni. And when, as far as the Tana Kama is concerned, this individual is not considered to be among those whose life is not really considered to be a life, because it's still possible for him to go ahead and to remove the lice by checking his clothing. It's not necessary for him to actually go ahead and have a change of clothing so he could wash it. So therefore, the Tana Kama felt that this individual was not included in this category, but the Yesh Omim disagrees. We continue now with the next Mishnah, which is found on the second wide line on Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis says the Mishnah: Ein Shoven es Acheres ve'in Chotchen Hanayor Litzlos Bamaliach. The first din in the Mishnah is that a person cannot go ahead and break a cheres, a piece of earthenware, a vessel, or cut a piece of paper Litzlos Bamaliach in order to roast a salted fish on it. Rashi explains over here that when roasting a salted fish, so it would be, the normal manner was to put the fish on top of either a piece of cheres or paper. This way, it wouldn't get burned, but the heat that would be transmitted through the cheres or the paper is something that would assist in the process of roasting this fish. So this preparing for this by going ahead and breaking off again a piece of the cheres or the paper. So this is not permissible on Yom Tov. Even though this is something which is part of the process of Ochel Nefesh, but this would be considered to be a Hechsher of Ochel Nefesh. This is something which is really preparation for Ochel Nefesh, but not Ochel Nefesh itself, and therefore it is prohibited. Continues the mission of it, in Garf and Tanav Kirayim, a person could not go ahead and shovel out, remove the coals, the ashes that are inside of a oven or a stove. Aval Mechabshin, but you can go ahead and press the ashes down in order to level it out. Rashi says that to actually go ahead and to be goreif the tana, to go ahead and to shovel out the ashes in Isser of Tikkun Mana. However, pressing the ashes down and just leveling it out, so that's not considered to be a tikkun. Ve'in makifin shtei chavios lishpos aleihen as a kedera. A person cannot go ahead and take two barrels, position them one next to another in order to place a pot on top of them. Ve'in somchen as a kedera bevikas. Nor may a person go ahead and support a pot with a piece of wood. Ve'chem bedeles, and so too when it comes to a door. So Rashi explains over here, when it comes to go ahead and taking the two barrels and placing them next to each other, so the reason why this is prohibited is because it is similar to the melacha of bona, because it looks like you're building a tent, an ohel, by taking these two barrels and placing the pot on top of it. So that's something which is prohibited. When, as far as the second din over here, of ein somchles a gedeir b'vikas, but not going ahead and supporting a pot with a piece of wood. So we're talking about a wood over here that was muksa, and so therefore you're not permitted to move it for this purpose. For chemideles, the same is true when it comes to the muksa, although over here Rashi tells us the Gemara is going to tell us what the reason is when it comes to the delis. For ein manhigen as a behemah b'makob yamtif, a person cannot go ahead and drive an animal to try to push an animal on Yom Tov using a stick. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon says that this is permissible. So now going back to the beginning of the Mishnah says that a person cannot go ahead and, again, be shover sacheres vein chotchen hanayar. So what is the prohibition? Says Rashi, my time. I'm sorry, says the Gemara, my time. Mishumtka mesakin mana, because doing so would be, again, a problem of tikkun mana. This is perfecting something that was not usable beforehand. Continues the Gemara of Ein Gorfin Tanu V'Kirayim. Tanu Reb Chiya Bar Yosef Kamedu Rav Nachman Vim Iyav Shel Efos Elam Kein Gorfo. That if a person is unable to bake at all, unless he goes ahead and shovels it out, so then mutter, then this is permissible. So the Mishnah over here, the Gemara over here is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we'd seen earlier on Daf Chav Ches, who tells us that not only are those malachas for ochel nefesh permissible, but even machshiri ochel nefesh are also permissible. And so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says earlier, and he would say over here as well, that if a person is not able to go ahead and to bake in the oven unless he's gored fit, so this is something which is permissible. Tabisu Reb Chiya nafal lo aricha b'tanur b'yamatova. So it happened that with Reb Chiya's wife, there was an aricha, a brick, fell into the tanur, fell into the oven on Yom Tov. So Amar Chia Chazid Ana Rifta Ma'alaisa Meina. So he said, so you see that I prefer a good piece of bread. So what Reb Chiya was telling his wife is that he would like her to remove the brick, and he was telling her that it's permissible to do so. The way he did so, he's saying, I prefer a good piece of bread, so you have to shovel it out. You got to clean it out before you're going to use it. Amalei Rava Lishame, Rava told his attendant, his servant, Tvile Bar Avza V'Izdar V'Charucha, go ahead and roast a goose for me, and be careful not to burn it. So Rashi explains over here as well that what he was doing, he was telling him to shovel it out, because if you don't shovel it out, then too much ashes in there, so it's going to cause the goose to become burnt, and it's not going to roast properly. And so therefore, we see from this story as well that Rava permitted the oven to be shoveled out on Yom Tov. Amar Ravina Ravashi, Amar Lan Rav Acha Mehutzal, Demar Sharkin Le Tanur B'Yom Tova. So Ravina said to Ravashi, the Rav Acha of Hutzal once told us, Demar Sharkin Le Tanur B'Yom Tova, meaning for the master, for Ravashi, they used to go ahead and spread mud over the opening of the oven on Yom Tov. They did this in order to seal in the heat so that when the food is roasting inside, it would be able to retain as much as possible. But Rashi explains over here that really Ravina was saying to Ravashi when he was telling him this, he was saying, but it doesn't make any sense. He says, because making this tit, making the mud that's going to be used for this purpose, should be asur on Yom Tov. This is an issur of Lisha. When you're going ahead, you're making cement, you're making tit on Yom Tov, so that's kneading, and that's prohibited. So how is this permissible? So Amalei, so Ravashi says, Anan, Araksa difrasam chinon, that we rely literally on the banks of Pras, of the Euphrates River, in order to go ahead and to supply the mud for this. Meaning that we don't actually go ahead and make the mud, we go down to the riverbanks and we take the mud from there. Vahani mili hu ditsaire meyesmo. And this is only true if he goes ahead and he marks off the mud from the day before. So he separates it. But to do so on Yom Tov itself, you run into the problem of muksa. So in order to avoid the muksa problem, you have to make sure that the mud was already marked off from before Yom Tov. Anam Ravina, Bikit Mashari. And ashes can be used for this purpose, again, for sealing the oven, because ashes are not subject at all to the potential concern of lush, of leash, of kneading. Kneading would only be true when it comes to actual dirt, but not when it comes to ashes. And so therefore, when it comes to using ashes, this is another way, a permissible way to go ahead and to seal an oven on Yom Tov. We'd seen in the Mishnah said, "Ve'in makifin shtei chavios," that you cannot go ahead and take two barrels and place them next to each other in order to put a pot on top of them. So Rav Nachman, avarim shabeis hakisei mutter letzadadon b'yom tov. Rav Nachman said that you're permitted to go ahead and take two stones and place them next to each other in order to produce to make a seat that a person can use to relieve himself on Yom Tov. So this would be essentially one of the means by which a person would go ahead and arrange a beis hakise to put together an outhouse on Yom Tov. So this is permissible, says Rav Nachman. So Eisei Rav Nachman in makifin shtein chavayos lishpos alein as a kedera. So Rabba says to Rav Nachman, how could you say this is permissible? After all, what do we see in our Mishnah? We see that you're not permitted to go ahead and take two barrels and place them next to each other in order to put a pot on top of them. So why then is it permissible to go ahead and place the stones next to each other in order to sit on them? So Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman said back to him, Shaini Hasa Mishum de Ka'avir Ola. That case is different. Why? Because he's making an Oel. Because there's a space that is between the barrels and he's going to cover them with the pot. Over here, however, there's no space whatsoever. The stones are being placed one right next to the other. So Amar Lei Rabbi Zutal Ravashi Lamiata Bana itstaba b'yom tov. So if this is true, so Rabbi Zutta said to Rav Ashi, if a person goes ahead and he builds a chair on Yom Tov to lo'avid olo, where he's not making a tent, tochanami d'shari, you're going to tell me that it's permissible? Or is a person go ahead, he's going to take bricks and mortar, and he's going to go ahead and make a whole chair, that this is something which is permissible because there's no space in between? So it must be that this distinction between the barrels being connected, not being connected, and the stones being connected, that's really not the reason for this. So Amar Lai, so it says, Rav Ashi says, no, here's what's going on. Hosam, binyan keva asrato. When it comes to taking the barrels, the chavios, the case in our Mishnah, so the reason why this is prohibited is because the Torah is looking to prohibit binyan keva. Binyan keva means a permanent structure. However, binyan arai lo asrato. But the Torah does not forbid a temporary binyan, a temporary structure. Gazra abanam binyan arai mishum kivinyan keva. It's true that Chazal say that you're not permitted to go ahead and build even a binyan arai because it will lead to a person making a binyan keva. However, hocha mishum kavodo lo gazra rabanan. But over here, when it comes to the need for a person to relieve himself, mishum kavod abrios, so therefore Chazal will not gozer in this case. In other words, really fundamentally, there's no difference between the two cases. Taking the two barrels and placing them next to each other, or taking the stones for the Beis HaKisei, it's really the same thing. It's just that the whole thing, to begin with, is only Yasin Rabbanan. So when there's no inyan of Kavod HaBrios, so Chazal would go there, that you cannot do a binyan arai, because it may lead to making a binyan keva. However, when there was a case of Kavod HaBrios, so Chazal did not make such a gezera. So Limoy now continues with the related discussion. Amar Yehuda, Haimadurta, Milamala, Milamala, Milamata Shari, Milamata, Limala, Osir. Yehuda says, when it comes to Madurta, a bonfire, so the way a person makes a bonfire is he takes a stack of logs and he makes them, piles them up one on top of the other, and then it makes a nice big fire. So Yehuda says the way to do it is Milamala Lamata. You have to go ahead and start from the top. So you'd have to have people holding the upper logs in position and then placing the lower logs afterwards. However, Milamata Lamala also to go ahead and to build it from the bottom up, which is the normal manner of doing so, that this is going to be prohibited. Says Rashi, the concern over here is that you don't want it to be derech binyan. So the way a person normally builds is he builds from the bottom up. You go ahead and you build the sides, the walls, the structure, and then you put the roof on top. But over here you have to essentially like make the roof first and the walls after. And then says the Gemara, v'chein beyasa, v'chein kedera, v'chein puraya, v'chein chavisa. These are other cases where a person is going to build in an unusual manner. It says Rashi b'chein biyaso, same issue when it comes to eggs. Beitzim gasos, a person has a large egg, and as soon as apli kli chalok ein tripod, ola achsel, a person goes and place it on top of a fire and he puts it on a special keli, emo shivin esa keli tchila, you don't take the clean first, put it on the fire, v'acharkach yisadir alav, ela yochzene b'yado, rather you hold it in your hand, v'yoshev abitz alav. You put the egg there first, v'acharkach yoshev akli ala gecholim shlo yasene kaseder binyan. And then, you take the egg together with the clean, you put it on the fire, because this again is not the normal manner of binyan. V'chein kedera, the same is true when it comes to a pot, shemoshivin al shtei chavuyos, lo yikifena techila. First you don't go ahead and make the structure of the barrels, v'acharkach yoshev kedera leim, elo helyona yisla ba'avir. First you hold the pot, v'yochsena v'yado, and then v'yisadru achavuyos tachteh saviv, and then around that, you build the supports of the chavoyos. You go ahead and you place the barrels on the side. V'chein puraya, Rashi explains here as well. We're talking about the temporary bed. So normally, again, first the way you'd make the bed is you first set up the peg post and then you put the mattress, the canvas on top. So over here we do it the opposite way. First you hold the canvas out, you stretch it, you get in position, and then you put the legs, the peg post, in afterwards. Again, this is another example of doing something in an unusual fashion, so it doesn't follow the regular Seder HaBinyan.